And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, Pepto-Bepto. That's right, Pepto-Bepto. We're going to look at baptism. We're going to take a peek at the major views. Good to know what those are. And also the major methods of baptism. That's pretty important for you to understand whether or not you can just use a balloon that's filled with water. And then we're going to wind it down with what it's all about, the identifying factor.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing, and apparently baptizing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You over there. What do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's crossed between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump has signed into law a bill that reduces the wait for veterans' disability appeals.
Calling the bill a big one, the president signed the legislation in front of veterans at the American Legion's National Convention.
No longer will veterans be kept waiting for years to get an answer to their appeals.
The bill, which won unanimous approval from Congress, would overhaul the appeals process at the Department of Veterans Affairs, cutting the amount of time it takes to decide veterans' appeals of their disability payments. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Egypt's president and foreign minister have met with White House envoy Jared Kushner hours after the Trump administration cut or delayed hundreds of millions of dollars of aid to Cairo over human rights concerns. Police in the Dutch port city of Rotterdam have detained the driver of a van with Spanish license plates and a number of gas tanks inside after a concert by an American rock band was canceled Wednesday night following a threat.
Military explosives experts have been deployed to the city to examine the van. Earlier, police said the concert by the Los Angeles band was called off after Dutch police received a terror warning. City officials say the warning came from Spanish police.
Correspondent Dennis Crowley, city officials say it's too soon to link the van to an unspecified threat directed at the concert. National Hurricane Center senior specialist Richard Pasch says forecasters have issued a hurricane watch as Tropical Depression Harvey gains strength in the Gulf of Mexico.
Hurricane watch is in effect because we think hurricane conditions are possible within 48 hours here. Actually, tropical storm conditions preceding those hurricane conditions within 48 hours for a good part of the Texas coast.
Right now, Harvey is located 470 miles southeast of Port Mansfield, Texas. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 88 points, the NASDAQ dropped 19. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend, Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electrogun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
No matter who we are, or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net. No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where if you're still seeing an eclipse, there's something wrong with you. Anyhow, because the eclipse is over. Okay, everybody's wearing the glasses. Okay, there it goes. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Wait. No, there it goes. No, wait, it's back. Okay. Guess what happened during the eclipse, ladies and gentlemen? I was in my office. I didn't get a chance to see it, so I had to watch it over and over and over again. So you know what they did? They came in and they just shut my lights off. Then they came back 2 minutes later and said, look, there it was. I'm like, cool. That was fun. Let's get ready to get into something I have not taught on before. That was pretty funny, though. That little eclipse thing they just did. That was pretty funny. Todd and Greg putting eclipto glasses. That's what we're going to call them. Eclipto glasses. Because it's like, you know, what are you going to call it? Like, you know, it's an eclipse, but they got to be like eclipto. It's like got to have something to it. Otherwise, it just sounds goofy. I have not taught on this before. Get ready. I hope you are prepared for this. They're just back and forth in front of the window. I can't do anything about it. We're going to talk about baptism, which is why the title is Pepto-Bapto. Because sometimes when we're talking about baptism, it gives people stomach ache. So I've got Pepto-Bapto here. Baptism in regards to the New Testament. We're not going to give all possible definitions for baptism. We're just going to do our best to kind of review some of the material. Baptism, bapto. If you have been baptized before, that does not mean this does not apply to you. Ooh. How are we going to get to that thought? You'll see. The word bapto in the Greek means to dip or immerse. Comes from the word to dye a garment. So if you have a garment and the garment is light colored and you wanted it to have a d- different color, you would take the entire garment and submerge it, dip it so that it's completely covered, and that would change its color. That's where the word comes from. How you want to do it in regards to the application of water, we'll get to in a second. But the application in Scripture is for water to the body, like a shirt is dyed a different color. You understand that imagery? That's the imagery that we need to have that was going on then. You know, I never did tie-dye stuff when I was a kid. I knew a lot of people that did, and that's all part of that process. Got to put it in there. Let's look at baptism, and the first baptism you really want to look at that has a lot of merit and theology behind it is Jesus' baptism. And we are able to gain three really significant teachings through the baptism of Christ. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're going to come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. For it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the first major baptism story regarding Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It comes out of Matthew. There are three elements that come out of this that we all can look at and utilize in our hearts and minds. The first and foremost thing is Jesus showed his dedication to the Father's plan by being baptized. And even when John, who knew that Jesus was greater than he was, even when John goes, I'm not going to baptize you. You're the Messiah. Jesus is like, look, we have to do this. Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this. This is the plan. Let's go with the plan the Father set up. And then John consented. And one of the first things you get to understand about baptism and about Jesus Christ is it showed his dedication, his commitment to the Father's plan and the fulfillment of the ministry that the Father had intended for the Son to bring about the redemption of mankind. Jesus was committed to this in the beginning. That's a great thing to understand. And so when people do get baptized, one would hope, regardless, we can argue about the method in a minute, but regardless, one would hope to understand that people who are being baptized are making a commitment to being dedicated to the Father's plan in their lives and the kingdom plan as it surrounds their lives. That's okay. That's super. In Jesus' case, the other thing that baptism manifested before the people was the beginning of his ministry being announced or his presentation to the public. If you'll remember, after his baptism, he went through the temptation, and then after the temptation, he came into public ministry. But baptism was the stepping stone to the temptation process, and the temptation process, the stepping stone unto the actual ministry. So it was kind of like the baptism was an announcement. Well, we'll make announcements about weddings, and we make announcements about graduation, and we make announcements about different moments in life where things are changing and things are altering. Well, this baptism done by John to Jesus was an announcement of sorts. But the third thing that I think probably stands out more than anything else is Jesus, by being baptized, gave us an example to follow. And again, while methodology and views on what the baptism process is, one thing we can agree on is that Jesus demonstrated in his life that baptism was important to him. And thus he was baptized. For those of you who have been baptized in the past, and we're going to talk about believers' baptism, don't worry about that part yet. What I want you to recognize is baptism is extremely important in its public declaration, in its connection to Jesus Christ. And in doing that for us, Jesus said, "This is my example of how I live. You should follow me." Now, I want to take this last minute and a half to talk about something that's hugely important, and that is the voice that came from heaven. For the voice that came from heaven after Jesus showed his dedication to the Father's plan, after Jesus' change in life was announced, perhaps no more a carpenter, but now going into full-time ministry, and then Jesus gave us an example to follow, there was a voice that came from heaven. "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And I have heard it taught by different people that, yeah, he's well pleased because Jesus just did that baptism. I don't buy it, because the word "well pleased" has a much deeper meaning than that. Well pleased means seasons of pleasing. And for Jesus to have seasons of pleasing, it cannot simply be the baptism that just took place. Not possible. What it can mean is that the Father is well pleased, and what it likely means is he's well pleased with the communion, the commitment, and the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father. And in that, there are a deep seasons of time for which Jesus has spent time connected to the Father. We know he understood his mission much more than people will say, because when he was 12, he was found at the temple asking questions and engaging in theology. So Jesus had a understanding of the mission, understanding of the purpose, and the Father's like, "I am well pleased." Because Jesus demonstrated the commitment and the relationship he needed with the Father in order to take the next step, which was to go into that ministry presentation. And I will tell you this right now, that right ministry requires right relationship. And Jesus had the right relationship and therefore entered into right ministry. When we come back, I want to look at the major views on baptism. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help. From Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center, and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
When God forgives, our guilt is gone.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Soshi Dixon. As a young girl, I invited a friend to browse with me through a gift shop near my home. She shocked me, though, by shoving a handful of colorful crayon-shaped barrettes into my pocket and yanking me out of the door of the shop without paying for them. Guilt gnawed at me for a week before I approached my mom, my confession pouring out as quickly as my tears. Grieved over my bad choice of not resisting my friend, I returned the stolen items, apologized, and vowed never to steal again. The owner told me never to come back. But because my mom forgave me and assured me that I had done my best to make things right, I slept peacefully that night. King David also rested in forgiveness through confession. He had hidden his sins against Bathsheba and Uriah until his strength was sapped. But once David refused to cover up his wrongs, the Lord erased his guilt. God protected him from trouble and wrapped him in songs of deliverance. David rejoiced because the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. We can't choose the consequences of our sins or control people's responses when we confess and seek forgiveness. But the Lord can empower us to enjoy freedom from the bondage of sin and peace through confession, as he confirms our guilt is gone forever. Reach for God's Word any time of the day with the new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We've been talking about baptism, bapto, in the Greek, to dip or immerse, from the picture of dyeing a garment. So if you want to think of it in the coolest terms, think of a white shirt or a white garment dyed in a vat of red dye, put in, you know, dipped in there, so the whole shirt turns red. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about baptism. We brought out Matthew 3:13-17 to demonstrate that three main things were accomplished in Jesus' baptism. One, he showed his dedication to the Father's plan. Two, his ministry was announced, change of life, kind of like an announcement like you're going to graduate or new job or a marriage or a child. And then also, he gave us an example to follow. It's not difficult to look at those things and understand the importance of baptism in the life of believers. A hidden key was to understand why God was so pleased with Jesus Christ and his process. And it wasn't simply because he got baptized, because the word well-pleased means seasons of pleasing. It wasn't just the one act or the one moment that pleased the Father, but the communion between the Father and the Son. And we kind of finished that up by saying right relationship creates right ministry. Now I want to talk about big, big, big theology. Theology. It's like this big word. Ooh. Theo means God. Ology is study. Got it? Cool. Okay. It's a fancy word. Really the better word is, for some people, theophobe, because they're afraid of God, but that's besides the point. We're going to talk about the three major views of baptism. There are three significant views. There is one called the sacramental view. That's not sacre bleu, that's sacramental. The second one is covenantal. And the third view is symbolic. So let's talk about that. The sacramental view is much more along the lines of people who are Roman Catholic and Lutheran. And the people that are in this theology believe that baptism, the water process, is the actual channel of grace. Now, before anybody scoffs who are listening and you're like, well, I'm an evangelical, you know, Bible-believing, born-again Christian, I got it. But you should understand what different people think so you can know what's going on. If you don't agree, I understand, but listen so that you can catch it. What happens in the sacramental view is that the channel of the water, the dedication, is where the transformation is taking place. It's not that the idea of transformation doesn't have merit. It's the idea that it takes place during a baptism versus another time in the process of salvation. All right? That's the sacramental point of view. The sacrament is actually becoming the vehicle of grace, which is why in many Roman Catholic churches and in most Roman Catholic churches and in many Lutheran churches, when you take communion, the sacramental is not kind of a picture, but it's the actual sacrament and body of Christ. They think that is also the case when the baptism process is taking place. So you understand that while they'll have multiple sacraments, those two, the baptism and the communion, are channels of grace that these things actually take place under. That's sacramental. The covenantal view, this is very important. The covenantal view has got a wide range of Protestant churches that believe it, as well as other churches, you know, non-Protestant churches, that believed in the covenantal view that the actual process of baptism for the church replaces the Old Testament circumcision for the Jews. So you had the Jews who were doing the circumcision, the offspring of Abraham, and that baptism is the new circumcision. And it is a testimony and a sign and a dedication for the people of God. So you got sacramental, and then you got covenantal, and then you have symbolic. Sacramental, covenantal, symbolic. And in the symbolic view, which is the majority of evangelical churches, most Protestant churches, they believe that baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. They don't believe that redemption is in the water. They don't believe the water is an actual channel of grace. They believe that baptism is a response to the gospel. It is not the place where the gospel in its judicial elements is applied. It is simply the response of the person to the gospel. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Dave, well, what are you, you know, where are you at? I do not believe it is the sacramental view, and I do not believe it is the covenantal view. I believe it's the symbolic view. I understand there'll be people that disagree. It's okay. I don't see that that way. I see the symbolic view coming as more defined through 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why I believe the symbolic view is most accurate, because the saving is only by the actual redemption of Christ, and the baptism, not getting in the water, but the pledge to get in the water, the commitment, the consciousness that says, I devote myself to God, it's that response that activates the blood of Jesus Christ to clear your name. Okay, so you might be saying, well, Dave, do you think that you could never fellowship with somebody who has a different point of view? No, I don't. That's not my problem. If we ever get to discussing it, I'm going to be pretty firm in my position, and I'm going to be, you know, pretty committed. It's wonderful to think that people want to be as devoted and committed, but to me, redemption is in the blood. And the application of the blood is emphasized by our response to the testimony of God. So I see baptism as a response to the gospel, not the fulfillment of righteousness in the gospel. I think the covenantal view is, you know, it's interesting, but the circumcision, I think, is really its unique covenant symbol to the people of God and the people of Israel, which I do not think has no application in today's church. I think that's short-sighted to think that there's no application, since Romans makes it clear that when the Jewish people who are circumcised return, that will be life from the dead or the resurrection time. So I think it's all part of the eschatological process. But my point of view is there's sacramental view, covenantal view, symbolic view, and on this show, not on every show, but on this show, and in my position, I believe the symbolic view that baptism is the outward sign of an inward work that was put together by God Almighty through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and influenced by the Holy Spirit. All right, when we get back, we're going to be talking about the methods of baptism. That's always fun. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Johnny Erickson Tata has now spent 50 years as a quadriplegic, and she's praising God for the blessings that injury has brought about. This is truth itself. Tata was just 17 when she dove from a pier jutting into the Chesapeake Bay and snapped her spine in the unexpectedly shallow waters, emerging as a quadriplegic. But the accident wasn't the end of Johnny's story. It was the beginning of a beautiful but arduous life of service that has blessed millions around the world. As Johnny says, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And she has accomplished much through this one imperfect but beautiful life. Johnny leads the international ministry Johnny and Friends, which provides prayer, support, resources, and even camps to serve and encourage families touched by disability, takes wheelchairs to people around the world, and offers books, curriculum, and services too numerous to mention. She's written dozens of books, including When God Weeps, Glorious Intruder, and A Place of Healing. She's an artist, a radio host, and even the star of a movie about her own life. Her problems have not lessened. Years of sitting in a wheelchair have left her with chronic back and hip pain. And in 2010, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She told CBN News, "Every single morning when I wake up, I need Jesus so badly. It sounds incredible, but I really would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Jesus as I do than be on my feet without him." As healthcare costs continue to rise, many Christians are feeling the pinch. If you've been forced to choose between high health insurance premiums and huge tax penalties, it's time you considered a truly affordable alternative, MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare, affordable, biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where we don't think millennials have the right to have anything without working a little bit for it. Entitlement. You are entitled to nothing. Your existence was a gift from God. Woo, doggy. All right, we've been talking about baptism. We'll start off with Bepto-Pepto. Pepto-Bepto. Talking about the accomplishment that Jesus brought about in his baptism, showing his dedication to the Father's plan. also announcing his ministry entrance and as well giving us an example, talking about that underneath message that came from the Father to the Son, in whom he was well pleased, seasons of pleasing. So we know that the baptism moment itself wasn't the pleasing, but the life of Jesus Christ was the pleasing. Then we took last segment to talk about the major views of baptism. Talked about the sacramental view, which they believe the actual baptizing is the channel of grace. The covenantal view, which believes that baptism replaces circumcision. And the symbolic view, which is most Protestant churches, believing that baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. Ultimately, Jesus is our channel of grace. We must always remember that. Here is something important to understand. The word baptism, bapto in the Greek, to dip or immerse, from the concept of taking a piece of clothing and putting it in dye and having that entire piece of clothing be changed in color. Like, okay. So we get just a little bit of kind of a look at baptism. Like I said, I couldn't find any notes in the last 5 years that I had really talked about this in depth. So I'm kind of having a good time on this one. There are many discussions about the methodology, the method, the way that we do baptism. There are quite a few people that would say that throwing a water balloon at your face is in fact not baptism. Well, it's true and not true. Because the idea behind baptism is to have the contact of the water, the liquid, the dye with the subject. I mean, that's really it. And I guess if somebody threw a water balloon at your face and it hit you in the head, there is a sense that you got baptized in water. Maybe not in the most definitive New Testament concept, but there's some application. Here is the big question. The big question is it really an immersion, or is it more of a pluralist moment? Is it dunking versus a pouring or a sprinkling? Now, we know that in the sacramental view, there's more of a pouring and sprinkling. In the covenantal point of view, it's a little split. And in the symbolic point of view, it's pretty much in the dunking process, as the person submerges fully into the water and then emerges as a new creation. And that's what a lot of people like that. We used to talk about this in the church that we had in Flagstaff on whether we were dunkers or sprinklers. And while we all love sprinkles on cupcakes, we liked to dunk the basketball more, so we were always dunkers. Is it going to be a horrendous sin if a church does sprinkling and pouring versus dunking? I don't think so. I don't see that, you know, what if you were going to get baptized and there was no water? And let's say all you had, I'm serious, what if you were in a prison? You think, well, that's a joke. Well, it's not a joke, because there were many people that made decisions for Christ in prison, and you didn't exactly have a lake to go to. And if all you had was a cup of water and you wanted to dedicate yourself and have a pledge unto the Lord, I'm not having the same problem with a person doing that and considering themselves baptized. I don't have the same, oh, it's scary. I don't see God up there going, well, it would have been baptism if you would have used two cups. I'm like, that seems dumb. If you only had a cup of water, you only had a little water, and that's what you had to do, okay, that's fine. That, I don't think that's the issue. The bigger question are these two points, and that is this. What about infant baptism? Because there are many in the Roman Catholic Church, some in the Lutheran Church, that believe that the infant baptism is in fact biblical. I don't see infant baptism in the book. I do see children dedication. You can take that all the way back to Adam and Eve, you know, having their children. You can take that all the way throughout Scripture. Certainly you can see in the book of Samuel that Samuel's mom fully dedicated her son to the Lord. I'm not sure that was a baptism as much of a dedication. So for somebody who is more of a Protestant mindset, who's more of an evangelical mindset, the idea of infant baptism doesn't carry a lot of weight, doesn't carry a lot. Well, you know, they've got to be baptized. We'll talk about that in a second. But the idea that the child is dedicated to the Lord, that is all the way through Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And so dedicating the child to the Lord, and by the way, that dedication in reality is the parents dedicating themselves to making sure they're a part of the process of that child's dedication to the Lord. So it's not just on the child. Oh, look, he's one. We dedicate him to the Lord. Oh, he's 3 months old. We dedicate him to the Lord. Guess what, parents? That means for the next 18 years, you made that decision. You made that commitment. Or the next 18 years, probably the next 58 years, or the next 88 years for the rest of your life. And that's what a dedication is. You're dedicating yourself to something. So I'm not finding that infant baptism. I know somebody's going to shoot a scripture or two at me, and I already know the scriptures. But just from the point of view of scripture, it's dedicating the child to the Lord. It's kind of how it's always been. Before there was baptism, that's how it's been. But as an evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again Christian, there is a stronger concept on our end that does say we believe in believers' baptism. And to be quite honest, a 4-month-old child cannot really express faith. Believers' baptism comes from a couple of different locations. Here's one of the things Jesus said in Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you." It's tough to teach a child everything that's been commanded of the Lord Jesus when they're 3 months old and have a poopy diaper. You can't get mad at me for stuff like that. That's reality. If you want a better passage that gets more into the specifics, use Acts chapter 8. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, who does the prophet say this of himself or someone else?" Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." A 3-month-old cannot make that proclamation. He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized them. We have a stronger eye or commitment, the evangelical Bible-believing Christian, we have a stronger mindset that this means baptism must take place from a believer's point of view. They have to make a decision to be baptized. Now, there is a lot of argument still in the church. Well, can a 5-year-old make that decision or an 8-year-old make that decision? You have to say there is no specific age. In the Jewish culture, at 13, you are accountable to the law. That's what your bar mitzvah is. You now declare that you're a man, although I've never met a 13-year-old who's a man yet. But that's a separate issue that has to do with Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac. But one 5-year-old may be particularly more conscious towards God than a 10-year-old. And I don't think you can just slap an age on it. I don't think that's workable. What I do know is in regards to believers' baptism in Acts chapter 2, 8, 10, 18, and 19, so you got 5 different chapters, it does say that the person has to be a believer or believing the gospel and then being baptized. I do think that disqualifies, you know, a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old. Does that mean if somebody's infant baptized, that's bad? I don't think it's bad. It just doesn't make them a Christian. Making a decision for Jesus Christ makes a person a Christian. You can't decide for somebody else to be a believer. I like that guy over there. He's a really great third baseman. I've decided he's going to be a believer. It doesn't work that way. That third baseman has to decide that. You get it? So that's why we believe in a believer's baptism. So when we come back, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty on the theology, and that is baptism. Is it essential? Is it critical? Where does it stand in the realm of salvation? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. When David said that by God's judgments thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there's great reward, he concluded his hymn on the sufficiency of Scripture. It's appropriate that he ended by establishing the value of God's warnings, because guarding his people against temptation, sin, error, foolishness, false teachers, and every other threat to their spiritual well-being is a major concern to God and a major function of Scripture. The warnings of Scripture aren't intended to frustrate you, but when you listen to those warnings, they will keep you from spiritual harm and give you the joy of knowing you're following God's will. That's the great reward that David talked about in that psalm. I pray that you'll listen to the warnings of the Word of God. This is John MacArthur praying you are continuing to be portraits of grace.
The most dangerous kind of lie is one that just slightly distorts the truth. The reason is that those who do not know the truth well are easily deceived. Such a subtle lie is the equivalent of a counterfeit dollar bill. Very close to the real thing, but as worthless as if it were drawn on a paper napkin. The very first lie ever told was when Satan jumbled God's words in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were naive and fell for his trap. Lest we repeat their error, we must know God's truth so well that any deviation is obvious. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's truth in God's Word on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the Word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is an excellent way to go about that. We have been discussing baptism for the entire hour. If you don't get a chance to listen to it normally for the length of it, we encourage you to go to either kprz.com and find the podcast. You can also go to davidspoon.com and find the podcast as well. We started the show talking about what baptism is. Bapto in the Greek, to dip or immerse, the idea of taking a garment and putting it in dye. So imagine a red or white shirt, and you want to turn it red, you'd have to submerge that into the dye. That's where the idea of baptism comes from. Talked about Jesus Christ presenting himself in his baptism, showing his dedication to the Father's plan, the ministry that he announced, here I am to the world kind of thing, and that he gave us an example to follow by being baptized. And we understand the Father was pleased with him, but not just pleased, well pleased, seasons of pleasing. So you know it wasn't just the act of baptism that was pleasing, but the life of Jesus Christ and his connection to the Father, thereby leading us to right relationship, leads to right ministry. We talked about the three major views of baptism, the sacramental view, the covenantal view, and the symbolic view. Sacramental view believes that the channel of grace is actually in the water, the actual baptism itself. That's where salvation comes about. The covenantal view believes that baptism replaces circumcision. So baptism in the New Testament, circumcision in the Old Testament. Symbolic view sees that baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. And then the last segment, we discussed the method, whether it's the immersionist or the pluralist, the dunking or the pouring and sprinkling. Covered infant baptism and believer's baptism and baby dedications. Now I'm going to say something you're not going to like. One of the things I like to do. There it is, the key. Baptism is essential, but not critical. And I say that because of this, 1 Corinthians 1:14. I thank God I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Making a clear distinction between the preaching of the gospel and baptism. Not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Additionally, it's good to note that in Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43, the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, for our deeds deserve them. This man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." There's the guy on the cross who didn't get baptized. People always say, "Well, the new covenant didn't start yet." Oh, so anybody who met Jesus in the first 3 years and said yes to Jesus Christ and acknowledged him and then died, they didn't get saved according to that theology. That's just stupid. I mean, that's just dumb. Like, what are you talking about? You know, when John came, that was the new. He was the announcer of the new. Ta-da! We're there. Thank you. So it's important to understand it is essential. Jesus set baptism as an example. He made it absolutely clear it's something we should process. It's an identifying marker, and that's what's key. By being baptized, you identify with the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is read Romans 6, 3 through 5. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We who therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God, we too may live a new life. We're united with him in death like this. We'll certainly also be united with him in his resurrection like he is. It's like, oh wait, that's the connection, that the baptism that we do is an outward declaration and identifies us, connecting us to Jesus Christ. Baptism identifies us with Jesus and with our new man. The old man's supposed to be down and gone. Except too many of us pick up the old man again and again and again and again. It is essential to be baptized. But it doesn't mean if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. Come on. No Bible-believing evangelical Christian believes if you miss the baptism, if you get baptized the proper time, oh, you know, and the argument, I think it's weak, but it brings up the point, well, so the guy gets saved on the way of baptism and dies in a car accident. Well, too bad for him. Somebody should have thrown water in his face. Well, by that thinking, everybody should go around with a squirt gun. As soon as somebody gets saved, just squirt him on the head. That's like, come on. Now, one thing I will say, and this is the part I don't think people will like, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." I think, well, what does that mean? Well, for many people, baptism is that presentation, that proclamation. For some people, baptism becomes a rededication. You make it, I want to start over. I want to be born again again. Now, theologically, you're not going to actually be born again again, but you want a fresh start. A lot of people do that fresh start by making a proclamation through baptism. Some churches require that baptism as a new form of membership. If you want to be in that church, that's what you got to do. Just so you can know, from a numerical point of view, I've been baptized 5 times. I don't think 5 is a lot in 40 years. I did 3 presentations and 2 rededications. When he came out of that cult, you better believe I got baptized again. Of course I did. I wanted to be from a pastor who wasn't a lunatic. Is that okay? I think it's okay. First time I got baptized was in a pool by one of the me, Larry, Bruce, and Billy, the four Jewish guys from Detroit who all became saved. Nobody told us we couldn't baptize one another. We didn't know. That's a baptism. I believe that was as valid as anything else. Can't be overly legalistic, but we got to be aware. And if you're a person who's never been baptized, you should be baptized. You should make that public proclamation. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you think that the Father's plan is a good plan? That's really the question. Any questions on that? You're welcome to send me an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.